Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio. It's the Morning Tailgate here on R&R 920. 702-365-9200. That's the number to reach us here so you can qualify for a lot of different things. Not only can you hit us up on the text line, you can also call the number, be on the show, but you can also get a chance to win the Summer of Fun weekly vacation. This time a Wyoming cowboy adventure out to the Rockin' Cabins out in Alpine, Wisconsin. We're at the M Rockin' Ranch. Not only you get horseback riding, fly fishing adventures, $500 spending cash, but if you don't want to do that, you could still just opt out for the $3,000 cash payout. We give you opportunities. So does Planet Nissan. Text the word PASSPORT, PASSPORT, to 702-365-9200. You qualify to win our weekly vacations from the Summer of Fun here on Raider Nation Radio. All right, it's time for a little four-down territory here on Raider Nation Radio. Scoop.
First down, and it's first and 10, Las Vegas.
Here on Raider Nation Radio, thanks for being with us here. Clay Baker, Vinny Bonsignor. As we were playing some audio earlier on from the New York Giants on the Hard Knocks series, as they were talking about and kind of like devaluing Christian Wilkins during the portion of free agency, saying that he's just not up to it on third downs. He's not the kind of
not a difference maker.
Yeah, he's not going to be a good pairing up with Dexter Lawrence, even though they're best friends. And that was Chris Rossetti that came in from Miami to now deal with pro personnel with the New York Giants. But we see up on the text line at 702-365-9200, Napoleon Jackson at the 806. He was talking about, you know, those guys, they're in character. They didn't believe what they were saying. They just couldn't come up with a better reason to say on TV that they were making a huge mistake. I thought I heard soap opera music in the background while they were talking.
But here's the thing. They weren't making a mistake. They decided to sign Brian Burns, which I agree with them. I think pairing Brian Burns with Dexter Lawrence, an outside-inside combination, it makes all the sense in the world. Mm-hmm. They've got a good defensive line. They didn't need another interior defensive lineman. That's the argument. To argue that he's not a good fit because he's not a dominant pass rusher from the inside is ludicrous. He is, and especially on those high leverage downs. Just make the argument like, look, that's going to cost us X, Y, and Z. We're already paying Dexter Lawrence this amount of money. Let's go get the edge rusher. That's kind of what we need more to be able to make it a more complete defensive line from the outside and the inside. That makes all the sense in the world. That's a great argument. Yeah. That was the argument that they made. That's why that was the decision that they made. If they had Brian Burns, they'd probably go and sign or try to sign Christian Wilkins to pair him up. But they already have an interior defensive line force. You can't spend all the money at one position. So that makes sense. But to say that, just to throw something out there that he's not a difference maker on third downs when all the stats shows that he is, that's where you're putting yourself in a bad spot.
And to the aforementioned Brian Burns trade, this was also taken from Hard Knocks as they talked between the Giants and Panthers, a conversation that was taken from the Senior Bowl.
You guys want to move up to 6 from 33? No?
I'm going to.
Just checking. Never hurts to ask. Vane, you want to come up to 6? Where are you? You can't afford a top 10 pick.
Want to get us
COVID ones for friends.
Ooh.
That sounded an awful lot like the Panthers just let the Giants know that pass rusher extraordinaire Brian Burns is available.
There's Burns being an absolute factor.
Yeah, so it's interesting. This, you know, Hard Knocks does deliver some great stuff in that on the field talk between. That was Dan Morgan of the Panthers with Brandon Bean of the Giants. And it just gives you an idea of like, hey, this is how certain deals can get done by little conversations like this, even if it's all the way in Mobile.
Target. You want to get us
COVID ones for friends?
No. I mean, yes, but.
Or one and something.
Okay. Yeah. So it's funny how
that
these,
is how that works.
That's how that works. You've been to the Senior Bowl many times and you see how close these relationships are and conversations where guys would just have their hands, you know, crossed and they're just kind of like looking at the field while they're actually talking about this.
That or, you know, at one of those honky tonk bars down in downtown Mobile. And there's a few of those.
Yeah.
Kind of like in Indianapolis with all the steakhouses. That's where all the conversations are really happening. And, you know, it's in a casual atmosphere and you start throwing out ideas and start talking about things. And that's the grassroots of deals that eventually get made.
Play action on second and 12.
you know, not all these off-season docuseries are bad or good. But we'll find out one thing, is that Netflix has dumped a lot of money into their latest summer revival of receivers. It's going to be something that's a little different. Last year they had quarterbacks, this year receivers. And Davante Adams is on this. It's set to premiere the series on July 10th. And Davante Adams appeared today,
which is tomorrow,
on Undisputed with Keyshawn Johnson and Skip Bayless to talk about, you know, how this spinoff from quarterback is very interesting.
Most of the audience probably heard of, at least if they haven't seen the quarterback. So it's a little bit of a spinoff of that. Only difference is this one is a lot more interesting, obviously. got some of the most dynamic players in the world getting together. You know, me, JJ, George, Amon-Ra, and Debo. A little bit of everything, man. It's going to be a little bit of our lives, get a little peek of our lives, get to watch us practice a little bit, watch us interact, you know, with the within the organization, a little bit of trash talk on the field, and just kind of ultimately get inside the mind of, you know, an elite athlete in the way we attack our business every single day. So I had a great time filming it. Honestly, it wasn't my first choice coming into it because I'm kind of a private guy and I don't really have a lot of my stuff out there in the open for everybody to see. I kind of pride myself on being a little bit more mysterious, but when I talked to my wife, I talked to some of my friends, family, even some of my teammates, they all encouraged me doing it. So definitely glad we did it.
He is a guy that doesn't have a lot of his private stuff out there, but one thing's for certain, and you and I have seen it from day one when he walked into the facility, that this is all business. He's very serious about not only getting the best out of himself, but trying to get the best out of everyone around him. And at times when there's adversity, he digs in even harder to remind everybody that football is an imperfect sport. Don't let the little things wear you down. Try to do the best things you can each and every day, and that will be what pushes you further. And maybe that is like part of the work ethic that makes Davante go, but I think that's a story that needs to be told too.
Yeah, well, for me, you know, I didn't know anything about Davante Adams other than the statistics and the highlights of him in Green Bay. Him as a person, as a teammate, somebody to cover, you know, from a media standpoint. And I've told him this. He blew me away. This is a really, 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 my wife hates when I say multiple reallys, but I have to say it. He's a really, really, really impressive human being, football player, leader, extremely intelligent, has his priorities correct, is a presence in the locker room, brings a sense of professionalism, greatness, really. There's a reason why, you know, the Jordan Brand has designated him as one of their, you know, spokesmen and people that they put their clothes on and is worthy of that. He checks off all the boxes. And again, I don't use the word blown away very often, but I truly was. I've been lucky enough to be around some of the greats in all of sports, and his persona, his demeanor, his level of intelligence and professionalism is as high as any of those players. He is a special, special human being, and I'm really glad that the world is going to be able to see at least a glimpse of the Davante Adams that we've gotten to know here with the Raiders.
Yeah, I think it's good. And, you know, I really enjoyed what they were doing with the quarterback series last year. But, you know, you look at the lives on and off the field. But this time around for the wide receivers, it'll be Justin Jefferson, Davante, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I think you're getting the right personalities that you want to see more about. But it'd be interesting to see, like, how different and how similar all the wide receivers are, because they all seem to push themselves to the highest limits, and they're so different than the normal, like, the diva moniker that is often given to a lot of premium wide receivers.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of changing a little bit, or has over the years. We haven't really, I'm trying to think, well, Stephon Diggs, I guess, is a little bit of a diva, but other than him, it feels like we're moving away from the diva wide receiver, you know, and I don't know why that is, but it feels like you know, that's the case. And, you know, wide receivers are becoming, when we were growing up, it was the running back and quarterback. Sometimes more so the running back.
Sometimes the running back more so.
Than the quarterback who you identified with certain teams. And now, without question, you know, it's the quarterback and those weapons, those wide receivers. And in some cases, like Kansas City, you got your quarterback and your tight end. But it seems to be like, that's sort of where it's headed, and more of these players are the superstars of their teams now, these wide receivers. And I think one thing that you're going to see is is the work ethic is going to be there. There's going to be a a direct line between each of those players when it comes to working and putting in the time and being a professional. But, you know, we're also going to see all their various personalities. As we saw last year, Kirk Cousins is completely different than Patrick Mahomes. But I think we got a glimpse of Kirk Cousins that we probably didn't
realize. Wow, great point. Yes, you know what I'm saying?
That was refreshing to see, you know, Kirk and his family dynamic and his wife and kind of regular people, as was Patrick, too. He's just, mm-hmm. you know, a kid from Texas at the end of the day who's been bestowed all this greatness, but has remained in a lot of ways just true to himself, you know. And you like to see that. You like to see that that these and we get a chance to interact, you know, with these athletes sort of behind the scenes sometimes to realize that they are just human beings and dealing with, you know, a lot of the same things that everyone else is, including we've talked a lot about mental health and, you know, there's problems on and off the field sometimes. And, you know, you're in an argument with your wife, you know, and you come to work a little grumpy or a little angry or, you know, just the regular everyday type things that everyone else deals with. And it's refreshing to be able to peel it back a little bit so that the general public can see it. And what I like about quarterback and wide receivers as opposed to Hard Knocks, I feel like Hard Knocks tries to do too much sometimes because they're covering an entire team and they try to come up with, you know, mm-hmm. and sometimes it feels forced, five or six different storylines, maybe two that are, you know, the ones that get you through from beginning to end. But this is just, okay, we're going to go profile, you know, Devontae Adams with the Raiders and George Kittle and Debo Samuel, right? It's Debo is part of this as well.
Yep,
Debo
right.
Samuel over there in San Francisco. And you can really streamline it to focus on those four or five, you know, human beings. And I think that's it gives you a little bit more of an in-depth look rather than a surfacey look at some of these things.
It'll be third down and six for the Raiders.
The aforementioned Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports spoke with Josh Jacobs. And this is just an interesting conversation as they kind of went over some things where Josh admitted that he wanted to stay a Raider, but the Raiders, you know, still need to get better at the running back position. And it's about costs and value at this point. But he also talked about how he considers himself being a leader and now his new team, the Packers locker room, despite being the new guy.
They didn't make it hard at all. Yeah, they didn't make it hard at all. I mean, when I came in, you know, a lot of the younger guys, they kind of just gravitated towards me. You know, a lot of them, you know, they already respected, you know, the things that I've done in this league. And a lot of them, man, believe it or not, they want to get better. So a lot of them have a lot of questions about what it takes or what do I do or how do I view certain things. And I think that's been the most fun thing coming in, just to be able to be around a group of guys that's hungry on all sides of the field. Like the defense, every time they see me, the defenders, they just start like doing juke moves and stuff. Like just stuff that we was doing at practice that I got a couple guys on. They like, yeah, bro, we gonna be something serious this year.
That's good. That's Josh Jacobs with Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports. You know, it's crazy to think like of all the years he's been in the league, six NFL seasons, that is still more than any other Packers quarterback, running back, or wide receiver. So it's hard to believe that Josh Jacobs is the elder statesman on the Packers right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think he, you know, money aside and all that, I think he goes to a pretty good situation. They've got what appears to be now an established quarterback in Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some good young wide receivers. Feel like the Packers do a really good job of draft and development. And now he kind of parachutes into the situation on a team that feels like it's on the upswing. But I'll say this about that NFC Central.
North.
Or excuse me, the NFC Central.
Used to be the Central, though.
Used to be the Central. You can't breathe easy because, you know, you take a little bit of a step back. There's teams in that division, the Chicago Bears in particular, who are ready to take your spot. And I think the Detroit Lions are going to be good to go. I think the Chicago Bears are one of the more fascinating teams to watch in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows with the Minnesota Vikings, what they have in their young quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, but there's talent all over the field with the Vikings as well. So you can't breathe easy. So this is a big year for the Packers, for Jordan Love to show that, yeah, that wasn't a fluke last year. I was coming on at the end of the season, and I'm going to pick up right where I left off. If he can, and you introduce that run game with their new running back, that could look really good. But we'll see, because I think that division, with the Bears in particular, have a chance to you know, make up some ground this year.
I wonder how much...
Josh Jacobs, by the way.
For Josh, he doesn't necessarily need to be the bell cow running back, because they did draft Marshawn Lloyd in the third round, and they also signed A.J. Dillon. So those guys, I mean, they're going to have to be useful in some regard, as where Josh Jacobs would seemingly never come off the field. The snap counts were really high. He doesn't necessarily have to feed that role the same way in Green Bay, or does he?
I think he just feels like a running back that you have to utilize him like that. I just feel like he gets better and better as the game goes on. He's a rhythm running back. I don't see that he's a guy that's going to share the load. And I'm not saying that out of, you know, ego or anything like that. It just feels like he's one of those running backs that's built to play that kind of a role. Give the darn ball to me 25 times in the game. Just give it to me 20. I have had that conversation with him. Give me the ball 20 times, 20 plus times. This team's going to win. You know, and so for you know, is it a bell back like back in the day where it's going to be 30 times a game? No, but I do think over 20 times he needs to be the featured back.
Okay,
and I like AJ Dillon, and I like the young rookie from USC. And really, this is when you look at the contract, they're preparing for the future with the running back from USC, because it's not really, this isn't a lengthy contract at all. For Josh Jacobs, no matter what it might look like, we'll see how long it ends up being. So this could be, you know, 2 years and you hand it over to the young running back from USC. But for the time being, for at least this year, I think Josh Jacobs needs to be that featured back for the Packers.
Yeah, it's a 4-year, $48 million deal. But if you look inside it, it's not something that they're holding on to forever.
Right.
Hey, it's Raider Nation Radio. Thank you for being with us here. It's the Morning Tailgate, Vinny and Clay. We'll head into the break and get your thoughts at 702-365-9200. And then we'll also continue our NFC West preview. We'll hit on the Cardinals, hit on the Niners. It's Raider Nation Radio, the Morning Tailgate. So much for being with us here on Raider Nation Radio. It's the Morning Tailgate. Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker, and you. I'm getting your thoughts upon the text line 702-365-9200. Interesting thoughts here. One crumb coming in from my 805 Raider saying that no one was a bigger Jacobs fan than I, but he didn't repeat the monster year he had in 2022, and unfortunately, he just opened the door to see what Zeus could do. And he delivered. 805 Raider, thank you for the thought there. And also Robin Oakland chiming in. A generation of rule changes to protect quarterbacks from normal NFL physicality has turned the league to a more QB-centric and deepened the quarterback purgatory hole in the middle of the draft. Passively receiving one draft pick per round from the NFL just isn't enough to get out of that purgatory. So front offices have to get into the compensatory draft pick game, use arbitration and other creative methods and measures to increase the assets in order to get opportunities at quarterback while building and maintaining the rest of the roster. Well, very well said, Rob, in Oakland. And you know, the case in point for that, Rob, is, yeah, I mean, I think the 49ers have been in a good example of that, as you're trying to maintain all the assets around Brock Purdy before, you know, his second contract is due, because you're winning big with that quarterback rookie contract. But, you know, once that second contract comes around, it makes it more difficult, or at least challenging, to afford the players around him.
Yeah, well, that said, had they just drafted Patrick Mahomes like they probably should have and kind of had instinct to do, they'd be sitting on Super Bowl championships right now. They've bungled the quarterback position. You know, Brock Purdy has kind of saved it for them a little bit. Jimmy Garoppolo was a good trade, a good solid trade, you know, and got them places without question. But they had an opportunity to draft Patrick Mahomes. They went down to Lubbock, Texas to go pretend like they were interested, took him out to dinner. He wowed them. He was somebody that their general manager, John Lynch, was like, oh, man, I don't know if we should be, you know, they were going to wait for Kirk Cousins the following year in free agency. He calls Kyle Shanahan, and we might want to rethink this. This kid down here is pretty good. No, let's not do that. They drafted the defensive tackle from Stanford with the third pick overall that year, and let Patrick slip through their hands. Then the trade up for Trey Lance was a monumentally bad decision. They've made mistakes at quarterback and still lived to see a better day. Why? Because they do draft really well in and around the quarterback, and then they struck gold with Brock Purdy. Imagine if they didn't have Brock Purdy, though.
Imagine that.
I mean it's not like right. Everyone that thinks, oh, you can just put anybody back there. The hell you can.
It's so unlikely to go and find somebody where they did with Brock Purdy in the draft and for him to excel at such a great level. Never happens.
People have to get over that whole idiocracy that he's not a good quarterback, that he's just a product of the system. He's a hell of a quarterback, mm-hmm. and the numbers suggest that and show that. Everyone missed. That was what happened. The entire league missed on Brock Purdy, who was a lot better at Iowa State than a lot of people wanted to give him credit for. And it benefits him that he's in a better – that he's in a really good situation. That's the case for any quarterback. But you can't just plug somebody in there and expect them just to do what he's done when the 49ers have tried that more than two times and it blew up in their face. Trey Lance couldn't just step in and do that, could he? No. So if anybody could do it, why didn't the third pick overall in that the 2021 draft – why didn't the third pick overall in that draft? Why wasn't he able to do it? If it's just being the product of the situation, but in the grand scheme of things, they've really messed up the quarterback decisions, and it's cost them some Super Bowls, championships.
It has, and now it makes you wonder. Like, all right, as we were looking at the NFC West and the 49ers themselves, do you feel like, as we do this, has one team improved from last year? And for some teams that ascend to, NFC or AFC championship game, the end of the Super Bowl, did the 49ers improve on what they want to do in the offseason to get that much further ahead? Did they upgrade? Because what they did try to do is take care of some contracts and make sure that they keep a certain amount of core players that they feel are excellent into the fold for much longer, and that includes McCaffrey.
Yeah, they lost a big, one of their defensive tackles. I can't sit here and say that they got better. I think right now they're kind of trying to hold on a little bit, mm-hmm. And hold on to what they got.
You got to make up for Armstead and Young.
Right.
We're losing those guys.
Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly. Chase, it is what it is. But Armstead for sure is a quality player, and they just – you don't have all the money to be able to sign, all those players. So eventually it gets to that point. So to sit here and say they got better, I like their draft. I like the wide receiver that they got from Florida, Ricky Purcell. Mm-hmm. A really, really good young prospect. Could be eventually the replacement for either Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk. But to say they got better, I don't know. I don't know that they have. That's a big loss on their defensive line.
Yeah, each year it's going to be a challenge to try to keep everybody, in the fold and also keep your books straight. The funny thing is that there are two former Raiders on their offensive and defensive line listed as starters. And it's great because we had Greg Bell on from Seattle, and he says the Seahawks can never match up with what San Francisco does on the line of scrimmage at all. And John Feliciano is coming over from the Giants, former Raider. He can play guard and center. He's going to be listed at right guard. And Malik Collins is at left defensive tackle on the depth chart. Wow, Malik Collins has now ascended to a guy we're like, well, he's the answer for when we don't have Eric Armstead anymore.
Yeah, and he's played, okay.
Hasn't played bad.
Yeah, hasn't played bad. But I mean, that's a downgrade. That's just a downgrade from who they lost to who they brought in. They also lost they've lost three defensive linemen from last year. The hope is that the replacements give them some level or some semblance of close or replicate near what they got, but I don't think they can count on that. So they're going to have to do it in a little bit of a different way. It's a great team. There's no question about it. But as the years go on, the more players they end up losing because you just can't keep them all. And the challenge becomes, can you draft well enough to replace, some of those players? Some you can. There's serviceable players, that leave the room, that you have a serviceable replacement in place. But then there's certain guys that are just so good that it's hard to say, on the roster, you have somebody that's going to replicate what that was.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. That's a hard road to hoe. And with the other portion of the NFC West division is the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, trying to grade if they're going to get better, if there was upgrades or not. I don't know, perhaps, because if you have at least the ability to go and attain, your first round with two elite prospects like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Darius Robinson. Darius Robinson will take over on defensive end. you know, maybe you might have something there because they try to get as aggressive as possible. But for Kyler Murray to have weapons, at least on offense, getting Zay Jones, that's a good move with Marvin Harrison. But still, are you able to hold on to the ball and make plays downfield and also be able to control the line of scrimmage with your offensive line and James Conner, who's now getting a little long in the tooth? So on offense, as long as Kyler Murray is able to stay healthy, this may not be a bad team because Desmond Ridder and what do they still have? Clayton Tune there backing him up. You always have to look at that option. I felt like the Cardinals played very competitive last year, even when Dobbs had to start the year. You know, they weren't totally getting blown out of games when definitely they were looking like a one-win team as projections were considered in the preseason. This team seems to be a little bit better, but, man, they just seem like they've got a long way to go.
31st out of 32 teams on defense. That's where they need to get better. I mean, Kyler Murray is going to obviously a full season of Kyler Murray is gonna change things offensively. They were 24th last year in scoring, 31st in defense. With Kyler being there for a full season, hopefully for them, and the offense being better, that's gonna help the defense. It'll keep the defense off the field. As a little bit more than they were able to do last year, but that's a long way to go. Giving up 26.8 points per game, 31st in the NFL. That's where they need to get that squared away, and they need to be able to count on Kyler Murray to stay healthy. So, you know, I think it looks better, you know, for them. Especially, you know, anytime you get a quarterback I want to say the caliber of Kyler Murray, but how good is Kyler Murray? I think that's still a question. Mm-hmm. He's done some really good things in this league. He's done some not so good things in the NFL. I think, you know, adding some weapons around him is certainly going to help. But my question is, are they going to be able to stop anybody on the other side of the football?
There's no reason to do that. And when we had Greg Bell on, man, for all those years and in the last portion of Russell Wilson's tenure with Pete Carroll, that was a defense that as long as they could just hold some leads, they would be all right, because there were so many times they would take 10-point leads into the fourth quarter and completely blow it and lose the game. You know, you would go deep. You would have all these beautiful passes to Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and there'd be nothing to show for it because they just couldn't tackle anybody. And at the same time, they were getting torched on the run. So if there's ever going to be any sort of like switch in the NFC West, maybe the Cardinals could get off to that kind of start where, I don't know, maybe they start putting some wins together. But it's really, it's up to this defense, because you still remember, it wasn't that long ago when people were wanting in 2021 the Raiders to draft Zaven Collins, the big middle linebacker, the big thumper. But that still hasn't helped them at all, because there's no one around him that is complementary to that.
Yeah, they don't have the necessary pass rush. You know, they've missed on some other draft picks. I look at that division and it feels like, you know, who's going to be fourth and third and who's going to be first and second, period. It's like it's down to it. It's two teams are going to decide first and second. That's the Rams and the 49ers. And two teams are going to determine last and third, and that's the Cardinals and the Seahawks.
Earlier in this hour, we played some audio, and as well as last hour, from the Hard Knocks with the Giants, and not only talking about Christian Wilkins and their passing on him, and then how they kind of worked the Brian Burns trade as they were talking to the Senior Bowl between Brandon Bean and Dan Morgan. Raider Mike comes in. He says, the Hard Knocks dude is just a dude over his head, and it tells me the Giants are going to be a dumpster fire for a long time. With that kind of idiocy to be allowed on HBO or Max or whatever that is, the bottom line is that the owner, Jody Allen, is the problem for the Seahawks and my beloved Trailblazers. She needs to sell to Phil Knight immediately, because neither team can have an owner who is more enthralled with collecting giraffe bones and penguin skulls and having your security detail dress up in banana hammocks and do runway modeling for her pleasure. Well said, Raider Mike. Also from the 510, back to Josh Jacobs. I respect what Josh and his father overcame to get to this point in their lives, and I think Josh is still a good football player, without saying, but I'm curious how good a young offense can be if they're looking to Josh Jacobs as the elder statesman and leader, because sometimes his sound bites are disproportionately stronger than his production. Well, you know, here's the thing on that. If you have a young team, and especially a quarterback that needs like a little bit of help of direction, because this time the expectations are a lot higher than they were last year. People were trying to allow Jordan Love to find his footing and work their way, and by the end of the season, it looked like a very difficult team to stop. But this time around, there's high expectations. That means they have to get out of the gate early because, as you said, this is a very competitive division now, and everyone's vying to knock Detroit off the pedestal.
Yeah, and, you know, in Josh's defense, and a lot of the Raider players, for that matter, you know, especially some of the really good ones, like the Max Crosbys and the Davante Adams and the, you know, Josh's of the Josh Jacobs of the world, you know, when you have to answer for a lot of disappointment, you know, after a while, eventually frustration is gonna show. So I know that Josh Jacobs just wanted to win, and it ate at him, as it does with Max Crosby and Davante Adams, that they haven't been able to turn the corner here these last couple of years. It eats at them. And, you know, when there's disappointments, especially, you know, 2 years ago in the first half of last season, it wasn't good, you know, and it felt like every question that we were asking them is, why isn't it happening? What's wrong?
Right.
Why didn't it get done? Why are you guys not, you know, scoring as many points? Why isn't the run game, you know, getting untracked? So there were a lot of negativity. And, you know, you feel sometimes for guys having to always answer for that, especially the guys that you feel like this team can count on. Max Crosby, you know, obviously, and Davante Adams, and the really good players that are also the leaders of this team, and have to sit up there in front of all the microphones and answer all these questions. And eventually frustration is going to show. So there was never anything that Josh said that I questioned or anything like that, or questioned his, you know, his compass, or, you know, what this all meant to him and how he was expressing himself. None of those guys, you know, I always urge people, put yourself in their shoes. And we're asking these questions game after game after game when they're not the issue. It's not them that's the issue. Some of the infrastructure around them could be an issue, from the coaching to a lack of talent in certain areas. But they're the ones that always have to answer to it. And eventually there's going to be some, you know, they're going to crack a little bit. And when they show their raw emotions, I respect that and I don't blame them for it.
And as you brought up, like having that first season with Josh McDaniels, Josh Jacobs was at every practice. It even played long minutes in the Hall of Fame game,
yeah.
You know, because he came into camp looking great, and he was an absolute ball of fire. By week four, he started really hitting his stride against the Broncos, you know, rushing well over like 140 yards on the ground. It was everything you didn't have last year, and that was the question that may go on forever. Like, why didn't that running game ever explode coming off the year that Josh had the year previous? With the offensive line and with a quarterback change, like, what was the real problem? We may never know.
Well,
but it was a combination of a lot of things, obviously.
For sure. I think there was a little bit of rust on his part. I don't think the chemistry was there with the offensive line. I think also at the end of the day, for too many long stretches, the quarterback play was kind of lousy, and it just wasn't conducive to helping your run game. And eventually teams just decided, we don't really have to honor stopping the passing game right now. We don't. You know, we can stop the running back over there in Josh Jacobs. So, unfortunately, it kind of never got to the point where that passing game was good enough and potent enough to put the fear of God in defenses that they had to really sell out to stop that part of the Raiders' offense. It got a little bit better, no question. And I think that, you know, when by the time Aiden was kind of settling in, that's when Zamir White, you know, got put into the picture, and I felt like there was some burst to him and some energy to him, and maybe the system that they were running by that point was maybe a little bit more conducive to him than Josh. I don't know, but it started coming around at that point. But and they're going to have to really build off of that this year, because they can't afford to not have that running game right out of the gate, as opposed to last year when they didn't. They need to have that running game up and running. You know, from day one, because that's going to help that passing game, I think, anyway, get on track. And I think the passing game has a chance. It's not going to be elite. It's not going to be the most explosive, you know, pass game in the NFL. But if it's efficient enough, then it can create a two-headed type deal with the running game and the passing game to at least give this offense a chance to be better than it was last year.
It's Vinny and Clay here on your Tuesday here at Raider Nation Radio. Want to give you a chance, and we'll clear the phone lines for this, for you to get into the fantastic Front Row Card Show this weekend at the Rio, July 13th and 14th, Saturday and Sunday. I got two tickets, and you also qualify to win $200 in Card Show bucks for the Front Row Card Show, 450 tables of cards, vendors with comics and collectibles. Tickets are at frontrowcardshow.com. BetOnline.com. But I also have two tickets for you and a chance for you to qualify to win the $200 in card show bucks. All you got to do is be caller 9 at 702-365-9200. Your cowboy adventure in Wyoming, you qualify for that just by simply texting Passport. That's just 39 miles outside of Jackson Hole, the Rockin' M Ranch. You got a 5-night stay with horseback riding, fly fishing, and more, rental car, and $500 spending cash. You always have the option to just take the $3,000 payout. But you can't win unless you qualify. Qualify by sending the word Passport into 702-365-9200. Keep listening all day long to Raider Nation Radio, the JT the Brick Show at noon, followed by Q Myers and Unnecessary Roughness from 2 to 5. Up next is Rich Eisen. Have a great day, everybody. You're on Raider Nation Radio.